You're very welcome back. You listen to News Talk 106 to 108. Do text into the show on 5316 at a cost of 30 cents. As I get older, I'm becoming more and more mindful of what I put into my body. I gave up dairy almost a year ago, and apart from a little fish once a week, I'm practically a vegetarian. As a result, I've never felt better. And juicing is something I started a few months ago, but a good juice can be really hard to come by. Joining me now in studio to discuss the healthy benefits of cold-pressed juices are Ronan and Celine Murphy, who are the brains behind the juicery in George's Street Arcade. You're very welcome to Global Village.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And can I just say thanks a million for my juice, my berry good with dates. Love it. So let's talk about the journey that you've been on. You know, what got you started into juicing to begin with? Who wants to take this? Ronan? Or who's the spokesperson for the family here?
Oh, we're going to split it between us. We started with the juicing about 4 years ago. We were involved with another company where we were wholesaling juices into bigger stores, Supervalu, Spars, etc. And we just weren't happy with the juices that, in order to sell them wholesale, you had to put them through a process called HPP, which gives you an extended shelf life on the juice. Yeah. We weren't happy with it. We wanted to get back to making them fresh. So that's when we opened the juicery up, and haven't looked back since. It's been great. Great so response from the public.
So you really stuck to your ethos, because you could have very easily sold out.
Yes, very easily. But the fresher, the better with the juices, and cold pressing, above all else, is key.
So, what is cold pressing for anyone listening to this who has no idea?
It's basically a different process of extracting the juice from the fruit or vegetables, mostly vegetables. There's different types of machines. There's cold press machine, there's masticating machines, and there's the cold press machine is the one we use. It's colder, it's slower. There's less moving parts in the machine. It does it a lot slower. So the machine doesn't heat up. Any sort of heat is bad for a juice. It kills the goodness in the juice. So, yeah, we
try. The same thing, I suppose, when you cook vegetables. If you overcook them, you might as well not be eating them.
Yeah. It just means our customers have to have a little bit more patience because it takes a little bit longer to make the juice. So phones are great. Wi-Fi is great. Newspapers are great.
Yeah. How long does it take to make a juice? Because I know this for a fact, because there's been some weeks, because I have on a weekly basis, I try and juice for one day where I don't need anything else but juice. So there have been weeks where I've called in or texted you saying, Ronan, can I order a day's juice? And you're like, sorry, we don't have time. It's just that you missed the boat this week.
Yeah, it all depends on the juice. There's different juices take different lengths of time. There's more to make in one than the other. So on average, we can get it done in a few minutes. But we need for your big orders like you do, we need a bit more notice.
but what's the difference between, because there are a lot of juice shops around the country, you know, so what's the difference? And I think it's really important for people to get this, because I think people think, oh, I'm drinking juice, it's all good for me, but the reality is there's good stuff. And I remember the first time I went into the juicery, I asked you, do you put dairy in it, do you put yogurt in it, and you were like, there's no junk in our juice.
Yeah. We don't use any dairy. We don't use any sugar. We only use the best ingredients as much as we possibly can. But the main difference between us and a lot of other juice bars is making a fresh cold, pressing it. But like, I see people walking around with cartons of orange juice in their hand from the supermarket, and all you're drinking is sugar. It's dead. It's been pasteurized. So it's been exposed to a massive amount of heat for a short period of time. Kills all the goodness in the juice. All you're drinking, and most of it's from concentrate as well. So we don't use any of that. Any of our juices are made fresh. We don't use any cartons, any packets, any processed material whatsoever.
So no junk. Because I remember you said you may as well. I was saying, is it good to have a juice without dairy? It's like it's like putting a Mars bar in a juice and thinking it's good. So Celine, talk to us. How did you get involved? And whose idea was it really? Was it yourselves or was it Ronan? Come on,
Celine.
I suppose the health kind of journey that we kind of have been on.
I think becoming a parent had something to do with it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Just shortly before, actually, I got pregnant on our daughter, I gave up dairy. like yourself, I had been suffering many, many years with sinus issues, and it was just a
Did you have hay fever as well? Did you?
No, just get really bad infections, like, and I just went to the doctor, got another antibiotic, went to the doctor, and this was going on for years, and then I got really, really sick, and first antibiotic didn't work, and then I was on a second one. I was like, something's got to give here. And I gave up the dairy, and that was 2010, and I haven't had an infection, or actually haven't been back to the doctor since.
7 years?
Yeah.
Like, and God, so,
I was totally convinced. There was no, like, you know, I saw an immediate reaction to my body. So I knew then, therefore, like, the food was powerful. Like, it is powerful. So then I got pregnant, and then obviously I was kind of looking into, you know, feeding the baby and stuff. So it's been really good now. Mm-hmm. And just with our kids at home, we'd be very much like a whole food. Everything is whole foods, and pretty much when we're out and about, I kind of ease off. But at home, I kind of would be really, really strict.
Yeah, when they go to a party, they can, you know, they can have fun, like,
let loose.
A normal
yeah.
kid. We're not.
I don't need to have like weird things with food, yeah. But yeah, no, they're great. The two of them, we have a little boy and a girl, and they eat really
good. How old
are
they now?
5 and 3. Well, nearly. She's nearly six.
She's nearly 6 September. Yeah,
but going on 45.
Yeah, but neither of them been to a doctor.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Sugar, because, like, as I said, I have a 2-year-old and we have another one on the way. And I come across so many parents, you know, in the playground who are just, you know, you can see they're just exhausted, right? Mm. And their kids are running around and they're not napping. There's a mom in our playground whose child is exactly the same age as Phoenix. And, that you know, this child is not sleeping anymore, not having any naps. Mm. And then every time I see this child, of course, they're the ice cream truck with the biggest Mr. Whippy with syrup on it. And then I'm thinking, do you not think that maybe the sugar might have something
sugar,
to do?
Sugar.
But that's the obvious devil. Sugar, though. Do you know what I mean? That like, because you can, everyone would identify ice cream with sugar. But I think what's harder is the people not identifying, like, the bowl of cereal as more sugar, you know.
And the tomato sauce on your pasta.
Yeah, and I think a lot of kids are getting set up for failure, especially going off to school and stuff. Mm. You know, it all really comes down to kind of trying to keep your blood sugars and your insulin and everything kind of low and not spiking. So that kids are going in, they're getting a high, then they're coming down and, you know, getting in trouble for not maybe concentrating because possibly they had the wrong breakfast. It just, to me, it's nearly heartbreaking. You know,
it is. Because you're setting them up to feel inadequate.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, maybe school is not for me and maybe I need to quit. And so is it down to educating parents then?
We had this conversation in the car on the way in. I firmly believe it is that it's down to education, but it's also down, like, educating the kids as well in school. They're being taught wrong. They're being fed the wrong food in school. Like, Jamie Oliver's a major leader in this one.
Yeah, the old food pyramid. Can we just scrap that, for goodness sake?
Well, they did try and update it, which is a little, well, I suppose, maybe.
The fact that there's, you know, bread and grain and pasta and rice.
Well, that's actually...
Which turns into glucose when you eat it. Yeah.
But the food pyramid that was out just the one before, when it was actually all the grains at the bottom, it's... I remember reading the scientific paper of that, a bit nerdy like that. But I read that we just adopted that from America. In 1993, we just adopted it. We took it. Look, there was no real... And then if you look into the history in America, a lot of the food pyramid came about by political means. It wasn't to do with your health.
It's a dairy industry. The wheat industry, you know, they're in there. They're paying the government. Mm. Yeah. It's a conspiracy.
Yeah, but if you notice, there's a lot of advertising lately for the dairy industry and for potatoes, for example. Like, they're taking a hit. People are copping on. That, you know, don't eat as many carbs, don't eat as many processed foods, or don't eat any processed foods at all, and don't eat dairy. When you see these big guys having advertised, they're taking a hit. Mm.
Some people, though, in fairness, like, some people can tolerate dairy. I think what we should do is more try and educate people about themselves. How does that food feel to you? Do you know, like, because what's good for you is not necessarily good for me. Like, if you take kale, like, you know, is a superfood. But if you've got an underlying thyroid problem, that could cause you problems, you know, and it might need to be steamed or, you know, so things can get a little bit more, I suppose, technical with people. So I think it should be more like to educate people how to feel good, how to feel your best. Is something kind of not sitting with me well, or, you know,
But my worry is because there's so much information around food and what is good and what is bad that I think genuinely people are so confused that they just don't know what to eat. But because it's like, who is producing those papers, those research, you know?
There's too many people out there trying to make a name for themselves by, you know, coming out with outrageous statements about different things where there's absolutely no scientific proof to back it up.
I think just keep it simple though. Yeah. Keep it simple. Whole foods.
Whole food.
Stay away
from
the process. Like it's just so much easier.
Yeah. Anything that's not, that hasn't the least amount of human intervention.
Absolutely.
The better. Like if you obviously an apple, you know, something that has just maybe.
The less labels, the better. Yeah.
To be honest, supermarkets. I think it's really difficult to go into a supermarket, unless of course you have the fresh produce section. But other than that, pretty much everything is processed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the way they say the health food aisle, and then I was like, well, what's the rest of the place?
That's very good. That's very good.
It's frightening.
Gosh, we started talking about juice, and now we're having this major political discussion. I'm afraid that we're going to have the dairy industry. Yeah.
This is a regular in our household, by the way.
It is, isn't it? But I think you made a good point there, Ron. There's more and more people questioning just what they're eating, and just because it's being advertised on TV or radio or wherever, it doesn't necessarily make it good for you.
I get all walks of life in the juicery. Like I get from very young people that you expect to be walking around with a can of Coke in their hands, coming in and buying juices.
And you get the hipsters as well.
Yeah, I get the hipsters, of course, but you know, young guys and girls that you know they could pop in and buy an ice cream or you know whatever, but they come in and get a juice instead with their. They don't have that much money knocking around. And then a lot of older people as well. You know, there's, you know.
So there's an awakening.
There is, definitely.
And from a parent perspective, you know, if there's anyone listening to this, because, you know, just what's a typical meal like in your household, you know, for the 3 and the 5-year-old? What would they normally eat for dinner?
We eat, a lot of fish. I suppose that would probably be, and a lot of vegetables. So, but we would be
kind of... So you're getting a 3 and a 5-year-old to eat a lot of vegetables. I'm sure a lot of parents are going, how did you do that?
But, well, to be honest with you, there's not any other choice. So the long and the short.
Vegetables or starve.
Eat or die.
Stretch or starve.
But it's amazing if they're hungry. that's just at home. That's always just what there's kind of been. It's just and the two of
and
them,
you're eating it.
Yeah.
So well, and we just done, with Celine when we first had Harry, we done this thing called baby led weaning.
I love baby led weaning. Every person I know, anyone listen to this, and you have a baby who's about to go on solids, check out. I think Jill Ripley wrote the book on baby led weaning, and like they'll never be fussy eaters.
Don't blend anything up. Don't mush anything up. Just give them what you're eating. And when Celine first said it about Harriet, she was 6 months old, and I was like, we're going to give her a piece of fillet steak. Are you serious? She's no teeth. Gave it to her, and she.
No, Donna.
Absolutely love this.
And like anyone listening is, oh my God, but wouldn't the baby choke? Mm. No, actually, scientifically speaking, the gag reflex on babies is right at the front. Yeah. And as a result, I hand on my heart, Phoenix has never, ever picked up anything off the floor and put it into his mouth because he knows what food is. The food is what I eat at the table. That's what I put in my mouth. Yeah. Not something that like a stone that I picked up in the garden because they know. And I think if baby-led weaning will actually protect your child from choking.
It is. And it's quite nice though to allow them experience it, you know, the food and play with it even.
Like it's easier for you to cook as
well. Yeah. It's probably sometimes be good if you had a dog as well to pick up bits.
We've two hoovers.
Oh, I know. So actually, the dogs are more fussy eaters sometimes. They like kind of pick out. I'm like, seriously? Yeah.
No, what I did with the baby-led weaning was like on the Phoenix's high chair, I had, you know, those plastic things that you put on the office chairs to protect the carpet.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what I had constantly because it's carpeted floors, unfortunately, in our apartment. So it was great. And now, of course, I took it away, but it was perfect to clean the floor. But
I know. It's brilliant.
Yeah. So juicing, how can people... You know, because people can juice at home, you know. So
people can juice at home, but the common complaint with nearly everybody who has a juicer is cleaning it.
Yeah. I'm not sure why, though, because everything you cook or whatever.
It's not that hard. Well, for making one juice, it's a bit of an ordeal.
Like, yeah, you gotta go out.
My producer says it's fiddly.
There you go.
That's a technical term.
It is fiddly.
Thankfully, people don't like doing it.
In the juicery, we do the fiddly bits for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's. I met the customers I have coming in. Oh, I've got a juicer at home. And I'm like, really? Yeah. When did you buy it? About 6 months ago. And where is it now? Is it up on top of the fridge with the toasted sandwich maker and the soda stream? And sure enough, yeah, that's exactly where it is. You know, it's used once or twice, and it's gone.
Yeah. So that's like myself. 6 months ago, I went and bought a state of the art juicer and a state of the art blender.
Yeah.
And where do I get my juices from?
Yeah, me.
The juicery on a weekly basis. Yeah.
Because by the time you're finished, you come in, you buy a juice off us for $5.80, $5.90, whatever. And it's a amount of people that say to me, it's worth every penny of it. It's cheaper than what I would have expected. And I've never had anybody actually complain about the price. So.
No, because it just floods your body with nutrients.
Yeah.
So that's why I feel, especially having a toddler, sometimes you might not get a chance to eat the best of foods because you're literally shoving something in your mouth in between, you know, running after him, you know. So so at least I know once a week I get my nutrients from the juices, and that kind of keeps me going. So anyone listening to this wants to find out more, what's your website, Facebook page?
We're on Facebook, The Juice with Dublin. We're in George Street Arcade, 26 George Street Arcade. And we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, and all that good stuff. We're ultra-modern.
A very high tech. All right. So listen, thanks. It's been a pleasure. I've been wanting you guys on the show for ages because what you're doing is fantastic, but I knew there was a really interesting story behind it. And I think it's great when it's a family business as well, so you obviously care. And the passion for the juicery really comes across. So my thanks to Celine and Ronan Murphy, of course, the creators of the juicery in George's Street Arcade. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having us.